Hello, and welcome to the podcast series, Ready, Set, Game, The Rhetoric of Games, a podcast created by Emory University students in David Morgan's Play, Make, Write, Think class.
Over the course of the series, we will approach games as operating within the larger media ecology and attempt to diagram the competing forces at work within that landscape.
In each episode, we will play and analyze a specific game with an eye toward its rhetorical situation and the role it plays within the broader medium.
We'll focus on the way these games encourage players to think in order to move through them and what sorts of decisions the games force us to make.
As we probe the underlying rules of game systems and speculate about what's going on underneath the hood, we'll ponder where they are taking us and to what ends.
How do these games encourage certain types of problem solving and learning? What sorts of values do they promote? What sorts of new perspectives do we gain in the playing?
So buckle up and come play with us.
Hello everybody, in this episode, Kimberly and Wenyi will be talking about Doki Doki Literature Club. This game was developed by a team led by Sam Sobato and released in 2017. Big spoilers ahead! Now, we will be analyzing a special design of the game, Breaking the Fourth Wall. There are a couple of famous games that do so. Star Tropics as early as 1990, The Stanley Parable, Deadpool, Metal Gear Solid, Pony Island, and so on. And every game's mechanics for breaking the fourth wall affect the players differently. Doki Doki Literature Club is advertised as an anime visual novel and a dating simulator.
A visual novel, psychological horror, and metafiction. It aims at anyone who's not easily disturbed. Anime fans, dating simulator fans, and people who love mystery solving.
So long as you have the patience to play through the first 2 or 3 hours of tapping the same button and watching the male character flirt with 4 girls, you will find the game surprising, if not interesting.
The story takes place in a high school literature club setting with 4 girls, Sayuri, Natsuki, Yuri, and Monica.
Hi, Monica here. Welcome to the literature club. It's always been a dream of mine to make something special out of the things I love. Now that you're a club member, you can help me make that dream come true in this cute game.
Every day is full of chit-chat and fun activities with all my adorable and unique club members.
Sayuri?
Oh no, I overslept again.
Natsuki?
I'll get the cupcakes!
Yuri?
After all, doesn't a hot cup of tea help you to enjoy a good book?
And of course, Monica, the leader of the club, that's me! I'm super excited for you to make friends with everyone and help the literature club become a more intimate place for all my members. But I can tell already that you're a sweetheart. Will you promise to spend the most time with me?
This club is full of incredibly cute girls!
The player acts as the only male character, and things go on in an ordinary way for about 2 hours. Until Sayuri commits suicide. Then the player learns that her death is the result of Monica deleting Sayuri's files. From this point on, the dating simulator becomes overtaken by glitches and death, and the girls are no longer as perfect as they seem.
So, Kimberly, what do you think of the game?
I found it very adorable in the very beginning, but as we progressed through the game, there were quite some subtle, if not explicit, horror elements.
Definitely. It really scared me when Sayuri hanged herself.
Oh goodness. I have a favorite, which is Natsuki. But as the game progresses, I slowly learned that she, as well as the other girls, have a really dark history. I guess it's very surprising coming from a game that is so pink and fluffy looking.
I agree.
The first 2 hours of the game has been disguised as lighthearted dating simulation.
I think it's quite satirizing because at first it fulfills a male fantasy, then it subverts the plot.
One is the theme of appearance and how it interlinks with depression and other mental illnesses. Salvato really uses an effective approach in heavily contrasting these cute anime girls to grotesque images of gore and death. For example, watching Yuri's body lying dead for several days. The extreme forms of love that outpour to the player are actually signs of the girl's insecurities, all starting as small signs free of the deeper forms. For example, Sayuri reveals getting up late is not a sign of her ditziness, but depression. It makes you wonder, what kind of other subtle hints of horror is this game referring to? And what are the girls really like? Are the people that seem happy or attractive? Are they just what they seem?
The only cute thing about you is how hard you try. Stop affecting others with your sour attitude, your toxic personality.
Oh! I wasn't the one whose boobs magically grew 2 sizes bigger! Be careful, or you might cut yourself on that edge, Yuri!
Oh, sorry about what you just saw.
It's done. I deleted them.
This is something that people don't want to think about. Real dating simulators idealize characters.
Monica is probably the most popular girl in the class. Smart, beautiful, athletic, basically completely out of my league.
While Doki Doki Literature Club digs deep into the characters' lives beneath their cute surface, each of them has her own struggle.
Such as Yuri's lust.
It feels like every inch of my body, every drop of blood in me, is screaming your name.
Monica's obsession of the player.
I sacrificed everything for us to be together!
And Sayuri's heavy depression.
Why eat? Why sleep? Why be alive?
The more you learn about them, the more empathy you feel for them. Even Monica, the one who kills or deletes other girls and tries to monopolize the whole game.
All of them would feel real to you toward the end.
Most certainly. Perhaps as a possible warning, as media merges into people's lives, we just have to remember that real life is different from a fictional world, and that people have to be responsible for their choices.
This reminds me of the dating apps that are quite popular these years. The experience of texting on a phone to someone you're not seeing face to face is somehow similar to a dating simulator game. As a result, some people might forget the person on the other side is real and will react to the texts.
And those types of ways of people flirting, the ways that they meticulously pick the words that the other person wants to hear, that's the way that this game has been designed. There are actually mini-games in where you're composing poems. And these poems is simply an easy mechanic where you just click on the screen a specific word that a specific girl will like, and she'll suddenly give a little reaction or a smile if you pick the right word.
Oh, you know what? That is the part of Doki Doki Literature Club that I totally misunderstood. I've watched walkthroughs on YouTube for playing it myself, and I tried to avoid the girls from dying and get a better ending. In other words, I tried to outsmart the rules. So I tried to write poems that appealed to all the girls equally, which turned out to be the exact opposite of what Dan Salvatore wants the player to do. To get a good ending, you need to appeal to one girl at a time. So, you know, I ended up with Monica. Just Monica.
Yeah, with that just Monica ending, it certainly begs the question, just how far can this game go? It encourages this kind of probing, leaving a single clue at the very beginning and intentionally causing lots of frustration. I myself had went into the game and tried to delete Monica.
Did you just delete me? How could you do this to me? Did you just want to torture me, watch me suffer? You killed everyone!
Now, this doesn't really require any specific programming skills or knowledge of the computer, but just going through the files using either a file analyzer, you can click on character files of each girl and delete them. Does that alter the story?
I hope you're happy. You can stop playing now.
What do you think?
I think this, as a major decision in the game, links back to this breaking the fourth wall. It reminds the player that this is a game, but at the same time, this game is impacting the player's real life.
Through altering an actual file in the computer. And just as you mentioned, the game causes plenty of frustration. It appears to be mainly linear, and the player has only a few choices to make. First-time players would know that when to save the game is a major decision to make. That's the only way to appeal to all girls. Also, if you try to replay Doki Doki Literature Club after seeing the Just Monica ending,
you can't reload your saved data and have to re-download and start from the beginning. And at the same time,
this is how the game can
remind the player of how choices can be made only once in real life. What's happened has happened. It's not going to be easy to change what you've done.
And I guess this is part of the game developer's purposes of developing the game.
According to Salvato, he quotes, "I had a few motives for this game. I wanted to help demonstrate the capabilities of interactive fiction, providing some kind of experiences that only a video game could provide. I wanted to disturb people and make them think about life and uncomfortable things. And I just wanted to make a decent story with characters worth caring about. These kind of motives that Salvato has demonstrated through his game has clearly shown that he has created these fictional characters that have a powerful attachment to the real world. And as the audience, they soon learn these ideas of perhaps the AI character coming up from the story. Due to this, it creates a more unsettling or uncomfortable idea that where the mechanism of deleting a character becomes quite important, making the audience feel empathy as well as sorrow or regret if they delete a character in the result of deleting an existence.
Invoking empathy is one of the strengths that video games have. Interactive novels or walking simulators are at the border of the definition of games. People may even argue that they're not games, more like novels or movies. There are novels that allow the reader to make choices, and movies with self-conscious characters. But video games like this one breaks the fourth wall extensively. For example, in Doki Doki Literature Club, you, the player, is modifying files in Monica's world, while she wants to influence your world through sending you messages or pop-up windows through the game.
Right, and the fact that the player can delete files and modify them, that's just the result of the exchange of powers. In the very beginning of the game, players mainly in control of pick a few choices and try to appeal to a bunch of girls. But later on, the male character stops talking, and you can tell because there's a lack of quotation and a lack of narration from the male character's perspective. In the end, player can end up interacting more with the girls through your ability to delete and modify.
And that is actually the only thing left for you to do when you end up with the just Monica scene.
Yeah, that evokes the surreal environment that Dan Salvato was getting from. From a fictional world to a surreal environment, basically his end goal.
In the first play, you think about pleasing the girls, but in the second or third play, you try to save the girls. Instead of flirting with them,
Natsuki's face turns completely red.
And make yourself feel good.
And Yuri parted her lips.
You want to spend more time with each of the girls to make them happy.
Sayori, I love you.
So, Wenyi, just to recap, Doki Doki Literature Club lies on the boundary of video games and novels, but as it breaks the fourth wall in addition to its game mechanisms, it evokes more empathy and is more self-conscious. Thus, it poses a unique perspective as a media.
And one more thing to add, players enjoy the unique experience these fourth wall breaking games offer. There are memes, conspiracy theories, influential YouTubers post walkthroughs of this game, and it has its own merchandise. Doki Doki Literature Club is clearly having an impact on the society.
So, that's all about Doki Doki Literature Club. We hope you enjoy our podcast.
And a special thanks to our line producer Sherry and the help from Abby. Citations and additional information can be found in the episode description.
Thank you for your listening.